Blog Talk Radio.
One time for all my family.
Yeah, okay.
One time for all my family. Big up to the creator, the father. You ought to know who that is.
Who are you?
Who am I? It's not relevant.
Yo, who are you?
Who am I? You still missing the point.
Man, who are you?
Who am I? Who I am is not important. What's important is why I've come and that you feel in this joint.
And I come.
I come in the name of Martin. Martin Luther King and Louis Armstrong. Dizzy Gillespie, Sammy Davis Jr., Marcus and Malcolm, Paul Robeson. My predecessors and my forefathers before
much
me.
Love.
Much love from your baby boy. What you're giving me is what I'm giving back, and what I'm giving, it could never, ever, ever be destroyed.
Oh, there it is. Descendants of a nation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now you know who I am.
It's Jones.
J-O-N-E.
Born and raised in the ACL.
J-O-N-E.
Putting it down.
Mr.
I know y'all been waiting a long time.
Your boys.
Oh, I think you got it wrong. Just a minute. And see, I started singing. What's my note?
And she just wasted some time on the radio show.
I'm just saying. You know, I got that little jingle stuck in my head. Just in case you didn't. How can we make that? I mean, I don't want to steal a song.
No. We not gonna do that.
We can do a different beat. Ready? Ready?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, that ain't gonna work. Never mind. That ain't gonna work. I got you next week though. Next week, I'm gonna make my debut. I'm just saying. You know, I'm sitting up here in JG Studio, and we was about to cut a single right quick. We just took a break so we could do the show live. So we about to cut a single. I can't even get it out. You got me stuttering. We about to cut a single right now. So next week, let's just talk radio
with your host.
Next week, y'all gonna hear it though. For real, y'all gonna get the exclusive
with
version right there.
With your host YG.
You don't believe me? Oh, you wait. See, ye of little faith.
Serious host. Ebony.
And don't be asking for your cut either. That's all I'm saying. Ain't no ties on this. Ain't no offering on this. See? Because you ain't believe. You should believe.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, people.
I know. Welcome to the show. It's Let's Just Talk Radio with your host, Juan G. And
Ebony.
Who's been smoking something? I don't know what you're smoking.
It was probably that relaxer I got. That might be what it was. I don't know. I feel a little high. I feel a little woozy or something. I don't know. I feel good. Oh, I wish I had James Brown on here. Woo!
You knew that's good.
I'm just saying. I feel alive. It's something about when you get your hair washed. I don't know. It's just like a newness. I don't know. I can't even describe it. You just feel like a whole new person. I'm just saying.
You probably look like a whole new person, too.
You know you need your hair washed when your kids want you to go to get a hair shot, right? When your kids want you to go get your hair? I'm just saying. It's an indication. I'm just saying. You know, I'm just saying it's an indication. So.
It's time to go get your hair washed.
Anywho.
Your dirty kids even say your hair dirty.
What's going on with you, JG?
What's up, EC?
What is this? Are we at the end or the beginning of the month? I can't remember.
We're in the we're in the middle of the month somewhere. But you know what? You know what's funny? I was thinking about when we were getting ready to do the show tonight. I was thinking about the fact, you know, for the last couple of weeks, you know, I was on and then you were on and then I was on and you were on. I felt like Mary.
I felt like Tina Maria, Tina Erica. That's what I felt like. You know how they take turns.
I ain't feel like them.
I'm just saying, because, you know, it's
felt like Dunny and Marie. I felt more like Dunny and Marie. Like, you know, one day you doing your thing, and then the next day I was doing mine.
Dunny and Marie? What group was that?
The Osmonds. Oh, I forgot how old you were. I'm sorry. You don't even know who that is.
I thought you meant like New Kids on the Block or something. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Oh, wow.
I'm saying. Or the Jackson Five. You could have said the Jackson Five. That's what you could have said.
Before there was New Kids and a Jackson Five that was Dunny.
Or ABC. Remember ABC? ABC? No, that was the Jackson Five. My bad.
My bad.
What's that little boy? What's the ABC song that the little boys did? Reincarnation. What were they called?
Oh my God.
What's the name of the group? I don't remember.
They did it with BBB. I know who you're talking about. The little boys that did the thing with BBB.
That little boy is the playground. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. What's the name of the group though? Any incarnation? What is it called?
No, it wasn't no incarnation, reincarnation. No. I'm really gonna need you to get it together tonight. That perm got you high.
Anywho, and what's going on in the news? Anything? I haven't really been, you know, following up too much. Other than, have I heard anything? Let me think real hard. Let me think.
Well, you know, last weekend we celebrated the 50-year anniversary of Selma, March on Selma, and so the president was down there, and they actually walked across the bridge along with John Lewis, who was actually there when that took place, and so that was a great commemoration of an event that was significant in the civil rights. And then you get right after, you know, you have that happen at the same time, you got some fraternity guys from Oklahoma U on the bus singing songs that there will never be a nigga in their fraternity. Never be a nigga in their fraternity. They will hang from trees. So just as soon as you have this celebration of commemoration or the commemoration of a great civil rights event, we see that racism is nowhere near dead, and it is alive.
You don't think so?
Oh, nah, man. It's still alive and kicking. You know what I'm saying? And here's the funny thing. Fox Network, this is why I don't watch Fox Network, not just because they're Republican. But they got some of the dumbest Republicans, dumbest evangelicals
because they're so vocal. That's why they're so vocal.
They're dumb. They said that this is funny to me. They said that the white guys that were singing the song that were saying there would never be a nigger in their fraternity kept saying it over and over. It's a song. It's actually a song that was taught to their fraternity years ago, and they've still been doing it. They said, this is what they said now. This is what they said, their explanation. They said, what happens when you put these white guys, you influence them by letting them listen to all this rap music. So they're just a product of their environment. Are you serious?
That's the excuse we give. What's the difference?
Are we serious? There is a difference. There is a big difference because they started singing this song way before we had hip hop, baby. So there is a big difference. This has been a song that's been a part of that fraternity for hundreds of years. It's a big difference. So, and you cannot do, let's put it this way, you cannot do what another culture does because you're not a part of that culture. So if I walk, I say, I see my friend, I say, what's up, my nigga? There's a different meaning behind what's up, my nigga, than if you, white man, walk up and say, what's up, nigga? Or better yet, we going to hang y'all from trees. Come on, for real? That don't sound like, I ain't never walked up to one of my boys and say, what's up, I'm going to hang you from a tree, my nigga. That's not enduring. That's not endearing. So, yeah, there is a big difference. there is a big difference. We didn't get that from there. That's not where we got it from, hip-hop culture. Hip-hop culture just expressed what was already going on. Hip-hop didn't bring anything new to the table. Hip-hop just put it on a worldwide platter for us to see. Because this is what hip-hop was simply about, what was going on in our communities, in our neighborhood.
Wow.
That's all about. That's what hip-hop is. It's what's happening on the streets. Because when you go back to the streets and you look at the hip-hop culture, you see that's what we used to live. That's what we used to do, hanging on the block, standing outside, dropping lyrics, a beat come on, we singing, we doing all this stuff. That's what we used to do. Hip-hop did not make that. It just, it put it on a worldwide view. We put it in a way that now we're making money from it. But now everybody wants to blame hip-hop for stuff like this. And you cannot say that's where those guys got it from. No, that was inbred from their parents who were probably racist, from their parents who were probably racist, who probably owned slaves. And we're going to excuse it away. I don't think so. Racism is very much so alive in America, and we need to do another show about that. Racism is very much alive in America.
You're right about that. Now, that I agree with. It is. That very much so. Very much so. It is.
I hear but.
No, it's just the thing is, I don't think we'll ever get away from racism. For so long, we've hidden it. We disguised it. But because you're always going to have one on the opposing end, it's never going to be completely obsolete. It's not, unfortunately. We just came to the point now where there's an understanding in the division of races. They'll let you have but so much, but when you get to a certain end, like, I mean, I just have to look at, like, Bill Cosby, you know? I know everybody's like, oh, he did it. But you know what? When you have so much clout and when you have a stance, look at Oprah. I'm just saying. She started her own network, but you know what? They wouldn't let her go but so far with that, even that. And they tried to tear that down. But when you have but so much, they're only going to, I say they, but I don't mean they. People in general will only let you go as far as they want you to go.
I think you're safe with saying they.
No, because I think that they, them, those, I hate people. Just, you know, sometimes our own race is it. They only let you go but so far, and they're only as far as they want you to succeed. And when you get to that cap, then people put a limit on where your success goes. So, you know, racism is always going to be alive. It just won't be as pertinent. It just won't be as open. It just won't be as, I don't know. No, I mean, you just won't see it. You may not see it with your bare eye, but it's there.
You said the South will rise again.
I'm going to get
me a rebel flag.
Look, with all of these doggone police stuff, I feel like we had a civil war. We done had a couple civil wars, but
yeah, you see somebody else catch that.
I've seen that young man. I don't know the story behind that, but I heard about that. It's just unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Did you watch Scandal? Before we go to break, I gotta say this because I'm a Scandal-aholic. I am. I love Scandal. Not because everybody's like, this black
not
lady. Ain't nothing to do with the sex part and all that stuff. You know, it ain't nothing to do with that. But the writer, Shonda Rhimes, is an excellent suspenseful writer. I love suspenses. I love, if you can keep me thinking and completely, anyways, I love that. So, but she took this platform last week, and I was really shocked. Not this past Thursday, but Thursday before that. And she took, you know, this crazy, because she has millions of viewers, and this is the most talked about show on ABC. And she took the platform when she talked about, or she did a show on police brutality, or profiling. She did a show on racial profiling, and I was just like, my hat was off to her, because she could have used that to do anything she wanted to, and she took because they could have literally snatched that show and every other show that she has up, because that was very bold and risky, but she did it. she did it, and I think she made a point. And whether you
now,
were black or white, I think
they wouldn't have
that
show.
No,
come on.
It was
money. Sandra makes up too much money. But that goes show you what Kanye West said. When you make money, you can dictate to people what you're going to do and not have to wait for them to dictate to you. And that's the point right there. Sandra has a lot of power. So at that point, you can dictate this is what we're going to do.
You negotiate.
And not, you don't even have to negotiate. When you have money, you don't negotiate. You dictate. You tell people this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Look at Charlotte. I thought we weren't gonna get a baseball stadium.
Well, we got a baseball stadium.
Ain't that nothing? We voted it down. Then we voted down. Rich people dictated that we were gonna have a baseball stadium.
We did. But you know what?
2 years later.
We listen to Let's Just Talk Radio with your hosts, Juan G and Ebony. I want you guys to stay tuned. We have a really good show tonight. And, you know, we chitter-chat and all that stuff at the beginning of the show. Just kind of, you know, just let you get to know us and talk about the events that's happening around us. Because we need to know. You need to know. You need to be aware of. Don't be oblivious. Don't be so high and mighty that you don't know what's going on. Because I guarantee you, it affects you and those around you. So we do all that chitter-chat. But this show tonight, we're going to do the final part of this series we've been doing on depression. And this is a really serious show because depression is so misunderstood. And so I want you guys to stay tuned. I promise you, you're going to get something great out of this. If not for you, then someone that you love. So you're listening to Let's Just Talk Radio with your host, Juan G. and Ebony. Juan G.
What's up?
I thought you fell asleep. My bad. Let's pay some bills.
Good job. I don't do that.
Let's go to break. Stay tuned, guys. Be right back.
So much that we regret. What a price that
want a place to talk about the things that you thought about but were afraid to talk about, join us every Friday night at 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. Let's Just Talk Radio with your hosts, Juan G.
and Ebony. You know, I've been waiting for about 30 seconds to say my name. I don't know why you dragged it out so far, but I'm so happy just to have this opportunity to
where
be able to talk
about life.
Because, you know, this is Let's Just Talk Radio.
Relationships.
But I never get a chance to talk. Have you
Love.
Realized that? I just realized that. Let's Just Talk, but I never get a chance to talk.
Let's Just Talk Radio.
Join us every Friday night at a new time.
10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. Let's Just Talk.
Let's Just Talk Radio with your host, Juan G.
Almost.
and Ebony.
Almost didn't listen to Juan G.
What? Did you get kicked out of the studio again?
You know, I put myself out of the studio. I don't
Me
get
too.
Kicked out. You know, I put myself out of the studio.
Oh, you didn't get that pink paper that was laying on your desk? You didn't get that?
Child, you know you want to fire me because you know how to be.
You know
so
what?
You wouldn't even do it.
Good help is so hard to find. It really is. It really is. So anyway, we have been talking about, and if you joined us last week, thank you so much for joining us. Sometimes, you know, we have to have a break now and again as we... As we continue this series, though, this is the end part to our series, Signs of Depression, which has been really good to me. So many people downplay what depression is, and
right.
some people overplay what it is.
Right.
Depression can be anything from you hindering yourself from succeeding to really you becoming incapacitated, in a sense, where it handicaps you living. It can be anything from you becoming antisocial or you being too social. It can be you being loving or you being promiscuous because you think that's love. Depression is defined in so many different ways. And you can't really just put your finger on one thing because there's so many characteristics that follows it. Sometimes it's not even known that it's depression until it's too late. But many of times when you have signs and symptoms and you really look at it, because, you know, the thing is with depression, I won't say that, you know, you can stop it, but you certainly can, but you can, because it's a choice. When you see yourself getting low and down and out, you can choose to do something about that, or you can choose to seek help, or you can choose to continue to be buried in that pit. And so it may not be under your control where you can get yourself out of, but certainly reaching out to get help is you doing something. But you have to know what to look for because, like I said, it's not just one thing you can say, oh, I'm depressed. Sometimes you're in depression. I've given my testimony, Juan, where I live with depression a large portion of my life. And it took when I got older and mature to want to do something about it. Because I've seen how my behavior, my depression was affecting my kids. And I don't want them to grow up thinking that that's all right. I don't want them growing up to think that that's the norm because it's not. And now that I'm mature, I realize this. So we've been talking about these different signs and symptoms, Juan. And it's been. I really hope that somebody is listening and utilizes this information. It's not a joke. It's not a game. It's not making fun of. This is real. Depression is real. People die every day because of different symptoms that were ignored that could have been treated because of depression. Suicide is real. Depression is real. Real. It's real.
And like you said, we miss it, man. We miss a lot of people. And even, you know, Ebony, and I was listening to the show that you did when you did the show by yourself that night, and I was listening to that show. and how transparent you were about your own depression, your own bout with. And so the next week when I came on, you know, and I was reading some of the things about depression and what it was, I had to admit, I was like, you know what, I think I have been depressed at some points in my life. I think I've been depressed in some things that were happening to me because of some of those things I was feeling at one time or another or I had experienced. So I think we miss it. We're uneducated, and we miss it, and therefore we miss the signs of, because we have people around us, like you said, that are depressed going through this, and we have to know what the symptoms are or the signs are so that we can get them help or, better yet, get help ourselves.
Juan G, let me ask this. Let me get spiritual for one moment. Is depression a spirit? Is depression a spirit?
Now, that's up for debate. It depends on who you talk to. It really depends on who you talk to. Because what you will find in the Bible is that it is said that there are some people, Isaiah had depression, they say. Elijah had depression. Moses.
Noah.
Yeah, so if that's up for debate, if it is an actual spirit, I tend to lean toward the fact that it's not so much a spirit, but it's first and foremost a chemical imbalance in a person. And I believe with prayer and help, you can bring a person out of depression and they can lead a healthy life. Now, I believe that depression opens the door for you to entertain spirits. Now, once again, it depends on what school of thought you're coming from, because some people believe that it is a satanic spirit that has taken hold of a person or that is overshadowed. Now, I believe in some instances, yes, there is a spirit involved in it, but I believe the door was opened through another means, and the spirit entered in through that and used it. I don't believe that depression, like suicide is one of the signs of depression, right? Mm-hmm. I believe that a person can be depressed, and the enemy will use that to entice them to take their own life. I believe the enemy will use that. That spirit will come in to entice them. That spirit of discouragement, you know, will come in and entice them.
But is it not a stronghold? Is depression not a stronghold?
I believe it is a stronghold. Mm-hmm. I believe it is a stronghold, and it can be a stronghold. I believe it is. Mm-hmm. So now, do I believe that simply prayer by itself will solve that issue of depression? I think that has been the problem that we have been facing with medicine and spirituality. I have a friend, and before we go to break, let me just tell this story because then we got to get to him. But I have a friend that is a psychiatrist, which means he can write prescriptions. he's a psychiatrist. He's a pastor of a thriving church. He and his wife are both psychiatrists, and they work in a practice together. He said this, and it blew my mind. He said that on Sunday when they have the prayer line and they're telling people to come up and they want prayer, he said if he knows that this person is one of his patients, he said before he prays for him, he will ask them, are you taking your medication? And if the person says no, then he says to them, I need you to go sit over here then. And then if the person says yes, he will pray for them. He says that the medication gives the person a foundation to work off of. And if they do not have that foundation to work off of, then you praying or you speaking into them, because the prayer that you pray over somebody has to be received by them in order for them to receive from God. So if I'm praying for you, you got to believe in what I'm praying. So you have to receive the prayer. And you have to believe, we're touching and agreeing, you have to believe in what I'm praying. Mm-hmm. And if you don't believe in what I'm praying, then I'm just talking over your head. I'm just saying a whole bunch of words.
That's true.
So he said medication allows them to believe and tie in to a certain foundation, and therefore they're able to relate to you, and then we can talk about the medication, talk about other stuff, But he says you have to make sure that first and foremost that they are on their medication.
You know, the Bible does speak, and I know people are like, oh, she paraphrases, but I'm not, because the Bible says these things come by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is prayer and action. So what action are you doing in order to prevent or even to show God that you, like you said, that you do believe or that you do have faith and that you do have trust? What actions are you doing? You know, it's one thing, you can, like you said, you can pray, but your prayer could be amiss as well, because if you don't believe the thing that you're praying, whether it be for depression or for the spirit of suicide, if you don't want that thing, if you really don't wholeheartedly believe that God could deliver you from that, then you really have to look at that. Like you said, it does come by prayer in action, prayer in action. So right. I believe that you are able to be healed from depression. I believe that you can be healed from suicide. I believe that you can be healed from imagination, because some people have imagination and that's where they live. They live in the world of fantasy. I believe that you can be delivered from that, but you have to take the action as well. Show God that you believe.
Jesus never cast out a spirit of sadness. That's an emotion. You know, that's an emotion, and we got to remember that. That's an emotion that came from somewhere. But he did cast out demons, but he never cast out a spirit of that. That was an emotion, and we all have those emotions because we're human. But like you said, it's what's connected to that that makes a difference. What's connected to that that makes a difference.
You listen to Let's Just Talk Radio with the host, Juan G. and Ebony. I want you guys to stay tuned. We'll be right back, okay?
Oh, yeah, it's about to be good, man.
Signs and symptoms of depression. Listen, get your notepad out. I'm telling you, write these things down. I'm not asking you to diagnose anybody. I'm just saying that, you know, you may have to share this information, and you want to have it available when you do.
She's saying don't diagnose nobody. I'm telling you, you need to look at the man in the mirror.
Nah, well, we had our song. I'm just saying. Listen, guys, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Forgiving me over and over again, yeah. I'm calling on you, Heavenly Father. I'm down on my knees. Say, call on you no matter the hour. Lord, I'm in need. I've been messing up, done lost my house, done lost my job. Why walking out? These church folks say they my friends, but I'm all they talk about. I've been doing wrong, I'm so sorry. Lord, please forgive me. We confess to Him, He'll remove all wickedness. The blood from Your Son will wash me from my sins. Business doing it, no church or no Bible study, ain't been in my word. Now I know better than this, can't live my life in sin. We confess to Him, He'll remove all wickedness. The blood from Your
cleaner. Yeah, I can introduce you to the best cleaner alive. Every now and then we all go through a little strife. But if you let him, he will change your life. Now I can hear you saying that life's been rough. Oh yeah, you've been going through a whole lot of stuff. God specializes in the impossible. Just trust and believe. His grace is more than enough.
Radio. We talk about real issues.
Real people.
Real talk.
Y'all might want to stay tuned.
Thank you for joining us on Let's Just Talk Radio with your hosts, Juan G and Ebony. We're talking about signs and symptoms of depression. And listen, guys, if you missed the last three shows, well, minus that last week, if you missed part one, two, and three, I want you to go back to the archives and really listen to those. Write those things down because it covers some really balanced points. Tonight we're gonna cap it up and let's cover the last 10. Juan, we got what, 20 minutes? Can we get it done?
Can we do it? Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
So here we go. Let's jump into it because I think we definitely have to get this in so that people will know and people grow.
That's my thing.
The more people know, the more they grow. And so we want people to be able to grow from this and know exactly what they need to do, where they need to go, and how they need to work on their lives or begin to change their lives. All right, so let's talk about it. And these last 10 are definitely worthy of talking about. These last 10, I think when you look at these, I think you see these more prevalent in a person. And so you really need to pay attention to these if you find them in someone you know or if you find them even in yourself. Number 10, a feeling of worthlessness. People who are depressed have a feeling of worthlessness. Excuse me. Depressed individuals feel like they're worthless, like nobody loves them. They feel like they contribute nothing to society and that people hate them. And this can lead them to more destructive thoughts like suicide. They feel like they don't bring value to the table. They're always saying, well, if I wasn't here, it would be better for you. You know, I'm bringing you down or you know, I'm a burden to you. Excuse me. I'm a burden to you, or you know, I'm a burden to everybody else. You know, I'm slowing the team down, or I'm making everybody else look bad, or things of that nature. They don't feel like they bring any value to the table. That is a sign of a person that is in a depressed state. We have to make sure that when we start hearing this kind of dialogue, that not only do we alert somebody else that's close to them, but we also make them aware of how important they are and how much they do matter. And that's not true. We have to combat those negative things that they are assuming about themselves with some positive reinforcement. Yes, you bring value to the team. Yes, you bring value to my life. Or yes, you bring value to our life, to the group's life. You bring value to the job. You bring value to the company. And we have to keep reminding them of that, because otherwise these thoughts would take them over and it could lead to suicide. Because when a person feels like they're not worth anything, their question is, why am I even here? Why am I dealing with it? Why am I here? I don't bring anything. I don't offer anything. Why are you with me? You know, if you're in a relationship with somebody and they keep asking, why are you with me? Why are you even staying? Why are you even? It's because they don't feel like they have any value. They don't feel like they're having any worth. And then that leads to them thinking, well, you know, nobody will miss me when I'm gone anyway. And so that leads them to attempting suicide. Number nine. Feelings of guilt. People who are depressed feel guilty for having a mental disorder. They feel guilty about being depressed. They feel guilty. They feel like their sadness places burdens on others. That's why they don't want to hang around people. They think, well, you know, if I was a stronger person or something, I would be better, and you wouldn't suffer because of me, or you wouldn't feel bad because of me. And so people who are depressed often have these guilty feelings about being around other people, because they feel, once again, like they're the reason they're not having fun, or they're the reason they're not better off, or you can find somebody better. You know, you deserve somebody better than me, or you deserve somebody that will love you better than I could. And these are kind of feelings that, once again, leads them to this place, this dark place in their lives, where they feel like they're of no value to anyone. And they feel guilty about it. They feel guilty about being depressed. And there's nothing wrong with you have to tell people, there's nothing wrong with you being depressed. The problem is, how do we get you out of it? That becomes our focus. How do we get you out of this? Because something has happened that has triggered this line of emotion. So now, let's not feel guilty about being there, but now let's put this energy toward getting you from there. Let's put the energy toward bringing you out of this place of depression or this mood that you're in. So we have to, once again, you cannot ignore when people are saying this, or when people bring this out.
You know, the crazy thing is, and I know we're gonna keep moving, but the crazy thing is when people have the feeling of worthlessness or guilt, that loved one that they don't want to hurt or harm or add more burden to, that's really the one that can affect the person the most. Even though, and I know people, you have to have patience to deal with, Kumar, with depression, because reinforcement. It's constant, like, telling them, no, right, you're not bothering me. No, let's talk about it. No, I have a minute. I have the time. Or even before they ask you, meeting those needs before they even mention. Yeah. But it's constant. It's something that's consistently done, and you have to have patience, because the person that they love the most can help them, can help lead, because that's the one that they trust.
Right.
So, you know, the one that they don't want to hurt, that's the one that can help the most. So just keep that in mind if you're dealing with someone like that. The next one was really good, fixating on past failures. A lot of people do this, Juan.
Yeah, a lot of people tend to be focused only on the past mistakes that they made. And it could be something simple, like they made a mistake doing something. They burned dinner, or they made a mistake picking up the wrong thing, or picked up the wrong clothing item or something for the children. And they get fixated on this. These simple little things, and we talked about this in some of the other sides. We said that they fixate on the little things and make them bigger than what they really are. So here we are again. They're fixating on past failures, but they're also making them larger than what they really were. And so when you find somebody that's stuck in the past, you have to remind them that your past does not stop your present and does not hinder your future. And so you have to remind them of that was in the past. Now we're in the present and we're moving towards your future. And so you have to remind them that things can be different. That happened. We got over it. We survived it. We're still standing. And that kind of leads us to the next one. because they're fixated so much on the past. Depression has this thing about overwhelming people with thoughts, that they're so fixated on the past that they often have trouble thinking. Depressed individuals may have trouble thinking clearly. Their thoughts are clouded or confused, and their depression will get in the way of their normal thought processes, of their normal life, because the thing in the back of their mind is this sad feeling, this guilt, this whatever these feelings are that's overtaking them, that's dragging them down emotionally.
On unsurety and low self-esteem, yeah, and low confidence,
yeah,
and
yeah,
all that stuff matters.
And so all of their thoughts are flooded with that. All of their thoughts are dealing with that and have just become minimized the rest of their thoughts, and this depression part of their life, this negativity part of their life has become just so large that it prohibits them from really functioning the way they need to function, or functioning the way they should function, or functioning the way that you would hope that they would function. And so we've got to begin to really inject positive thoughts into them and help them to focus better, help them to focus more on what we're trying to do and where you're trying to go and what the positive things are in their life, so that we can kind of push this depression out. And once again, we're not doctors. We're not clinical doctors by any means. You're going to need to get somebody. If you know someone like that, or if it's you, get help. Seek professional help.
And realize it's a process. It's not just a one-step thing.
Yeah, you're not going to go just one day and it's going to be like, oh, I'm all good. No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen like that. It took some time to build this in. Number six, people who are depressed have trouble concentrating. If you have trouble thinking, of course you're going to have trouble concentrating. People who are depressed often have difficulty concentrating on everyday tasks, like doing laundry or cooking. All of this stuff might be too overwhelming for them. All of a sudden, it's too much. I'm doing too much. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. I just can't do this. It's too much. And you're like, what are you doing? I can't cook dinner and watch TV. I can't cook dinner and do the laundry. I can't cook dinner and take care of the kids. Well, the kids at school, what do you mean you can't cook? You know, it becomes, they can't concentrate. They cannot focus on the task, on tasks that are in front of them. And so it hurts them, and it becomes overwhelming because they cannot focus. Any little thing becomes overwhelming at that point. Anything added to their plate becomes overwhelming. Why? Because, once again, they can't focus. They can't concentrate on it. When you are in a concentrated state, then you can multitask and still have your energy toward one thing and do another. But you're focused on it. When you're looking at it, I'm focused on cooking, so I know, okay, got to put the rice on. I got this in the oven. Got this on the stove. The meat's ready to go. It's frying. Da da da. I got this vegetable on, so I can go over here and start separating the clothes. Da da da. But in the back of my mind, I still remember I need to go back, check the stove, go back, do this, go back to the washing machine because it's getting ready to go to the rinse cycle. You can do that. But people who are depressed, that's overwhelming. One thing could be overwhelming, and God forbid something go wrong in that process. And then they feel like a failure. They feel like they can't do it. I can't make it, you know, and it's too much for me. It's too much for me. Number five, people who are depressed have trouble remembering things. And we talked about this in one of the other shows. Mm-hmm. Some people who are depressed have trouble remembering important information. They can forget big dates, holidays, or even smaller things. They even forget to eat. They forget to brush their teeth, wash their face, personal hygiene. They just simply forget. Why? Once again, their mind is overloaded with thoughts of suicide, thoughts of sadness, thoughts of depression, thoughts of darkness, thoughts of I'm not worthy. And so they tend to forget everything else that's going on around them in the world. And that's why people who are depressed often close themselves off, because they want to separate themselves from everything that's going on in the world. And so they tend to forget things, major things that should have been important for them to remember at one point. Now, number four is one that we most readily and always associate with depression. Number four is crying for no reason. Yeah, depressed individuals, and you may find yourself in this, depressed individuals often find themselves crying for no reason. They see a sad commercial on television, and they just start crying, and they start crying during conversation. You could be talking to them, and they just may break down and start crying. And they have, it's no direct cause. There's nothing. There's nothing in the conversation that, you know, that made them depressed. There's nothing on that, in the commercial that reminded them of something. But it's just that it's a sad commercial, and the overwhelming feelings of sadness takes them over. And mm-hmm. what it does, it relates to their own inner sadness.
Mm-hmm.
So it may not be the event that happened, but it relates to their own inner sadness. And so you're trying to figure out, well, what just happened? And they're saying, well, nothing happened. You know, I don't know why. I'm just crying. You know, and that's it. Nothing has happened. They're just crying. That is a sign of depression, uncontrollably crying for no reason at all. No reason at all. Number three, and these last ones are really the ones that we mostly associate with depression. Number three and number two. Number three is thoughts of suicide. Number two is thoughts of death. So number three, people who are depressed, they're always thinking about suicide. They're thinking about self-destructive thoughts, and they become extreme. And let me say this. If a person confides in you that they're having these kind of thoughts, immediately get them help. If you're not close to them like their loved ones, then you need to let their loved ones know. You need to let someone know, hey, let me tell you this conversation that we had, and let me tell you what this person is contemplating, because this is important. Too many times I've heard people say, after a person has committed suicide, you know, they talked to me last week, and they were thinking about committing suicide. Well, who did you tell? I didn't talk to anybody. I just thought they'd be all right. And that's never the case. That's
never the case. You never know when it's going to be done. It can happen when a person is perfectly happy. You think a person is perfectly happy. A lot of people will hide their emotions or feelings. So be careful with that. If they've confided in you, that means that they're serious about it.
And here's another thing, and then I'll move to number two. But you said something, even if they're happy. I read somewhere that sometimes a person that's getting ready to commit suicide, that day that they do it, seem like they're the happiest, and it's because they have come to a resolve about what they're going to do, and they're settled in it. And so they're excited. You know, yeah, they're acting all excited and happy, but their excitement is not what you think. Their excitement is that I'll be through with this. You know, in a little while, I'm not going to have to deal with this anymore. I'm not going to have to deal with these people. I'm not going to have to deal with any of this anymore. All of my troubles will be gone. Why? Because I'll be gone. And isn't that deep? Because you think they're doing better. And actually, they just come to a resolve to end it. So, number two, thoughts of death. Some people are depressed, and they don't even think of their own death, but they think of the death of others. They may threaten others. They may mention destructive activities. So if you hear a person that's doing that, then you have to notify somebody. Do not let this go. You have to notify somebody as soon as possible, because suicide bombers not only destroy themselves, but they destroy a group of people with them. And sometimes people who are in a depressed state will take somebody with them. They want to kill everybody. You've seen suicide where somebody shoots everybody in the house and then turns the gun on themselves.
Exactly.
Something that's gone wrong.
Yeah.
And so you have to be mindful of that. Have to be mindful of that. And the last one, physical pain. Depressed individuals may also experience physical pain brought on by the emotional pain. They may get sick more often, feel general malaise. They may experience headaches and migraines, and they may also have constant muscle pain and stiffness. Now, we often hear about what stress can do to you. When you're under this kind of pressure of depression, it can also come out in the physical realm.
Sure.
So your body feels it, your mind feels it, your emotions feel it, and it starts coming out in pain. You're sick more often than other times, and it's just very debilitating.
Fibromyalgia is a lot. That's also most times associated with depression, as crazy as it sounds. One of the treatments for fibromyalgia actually is the antidepressant.
You know what? And I'll just curious to say that because I remember seeing that on a commercial that they were talking about, and what they were giving them was an antidepressant. So there it is. We've given you at least 4 weeks. If you miss one of the shows, please go back and see that at least 4 weeks of shows talking about the signs of depression.
Well, we have 60 seconds left. Give me two things. What can we do in order to come out of depression?
Number one, get help. Number one, get help. Number one, don't try to do it yourself. Get help. Number two, pray. Find a spiritual leader, somebody that can help you. Find a spiritual leader, somebody that can help you to do this. You can't do this alone. You cannot do this alone. And don't try to do it alone. Get help. Get help.
This has been a good show. This has been a good show. Listen, I told you, if you missed the other three parts, go back and listen to the archives. Write these things down. This is not, we're not doing this for to hear ourselves talk. I've been through this, and I've gotten through this. I'm still getting through this. Because, you know, I'm still in the healing process. I want to help somebody else. I want you to help somebody else. Help somebody else. Help somebody else get out of that mind frame. So you don't have to live. What's someone saying? You die while you're living, or something like that.
Everything you've been
really good show.
About.
Thank you so much for listening to Let's Just Talk Radio with your host, Juan G. and Ebony.
Real talk.
Yeah. Until the next time.
Next Friday.
Real people. And big ups to Mr. Jones for dropping the beats on us. Let's Just Talk Radio.